I always enjoy how the chapters in Ecclesiastes end. it's not how I would end a sermon. You say all these really nice things and give good reminders and then say, but remember, everything still to come is meaningless. There's a lot in here in Ecclesiastes chapter 11. And I just really want to share today, I want to focus on, in this chapter, I don't know if you picked it up or not, but what I really felt God speaking through this chapter to us is about taking risks for God. And so that's what I really want to share about today, is about taking a risk for God. And so maybe you haven't thought about things that way, like taking a risk for God. What does that even mean? And I want to encourage you, as we're working through this, just to open your heart and see if God might be speaking something to you. Because I really believe that to be a follower of Christ is like we're on this adventure with God. And so he actually wants us to partner with him and be involved in his work in this world. And so, but it can be really scary. If anybody here has ever taken a step of faith, it's actually really scary to do a lot of times. And I just want to give you a story that kind of puts things into perspective. And the story doesn't fit perfectly, and I'll explain that, and then I'll explain how it fits even better. But when I was in Kingswood University, so Sussex, New Brunswick, is where I went to school, and Mike McNeil, who preached last week, he was my professor of evangelism. He's just this, like, really adventurous kind of guy, takes lots of risks for God. Well, Kingswood, it's a small Bible college in New Brunswick. It has a hockey team, okay? And so a lot of people don't know that because, and I actually, like, now that I'm in Thunder Bay, this is kind of a hockey city, so you've got some famous hockey players who have come from here, like the Stahl brothers and Matt Murray, who I got to meet on my first visit to Thunder Bay. I actually got to meet Matt Murray. He signed Malachi's hat, true story. It was pretty cool. We were pretty excited. We were like, wow, this guy's, like, really local. So anyway, there's, like, these hockey superstars that are from here. Well, in Kingswood, and I like to joke with people now, because, like, Kingswood's a university, and so I like saying that I played university-level hockey. Because I did. I mean, I was in university playing hockey, so I played university hockey. And the other part of that story, I just realized this a couple weeks ago, but when I went to Kingswood, God just opened up a door for me to be to go there full-time, and I, like, it was a tuition-free. It was a full ride. And so I can tell people, with all honesty, that I played university-level hockey, and I had a full-ride scholarship. And then if they saw me play hockey, they'd be like, there's something wrong with what you're saying, right? So, yeah, it was pretty embarrassing. Shauna saw me play hockey quite a few times.
It was my favorite.
This isn't the story I'm going to tell, but I will briefly share this. There was one night, we didn't have a goalie on our team, and so they needed somebody to play next, and I was like, I'll do it, right? And so anyways, I had never, like, I'm not making this up because it's funny, but like, I literally had to get somebody to strap the pads because I'd never put on goalie pads. And so I never skated on the ice with, like, actual real ice hockey goalie equipment. And so I remember getting out on the ice, and I just felt so uncomfortable, and I'm thinking, and there's going to be, like, pucks flying at me, and I'm supposed to try to get down. And I played that night goalie, and this is a true story. There was one time I was standing there, and I'm, like, waiting or whatever. I didn't have my glasses on because you couldn't see very well with them on. So I'm, like, standing there, and everybody stopped moving. And I was like, why did everybody stop moving? And I look back, and the puck was in the net. Like, that's how bad it was. And so, like, the only reason I knew that they had scored was because everybody just, I was like, yeah, I'm confused. It was so bad. They actually, the team skated over to our bench, and they said, do you think your goalie would mind switching to the other team? I think that would be embarrassing to him. And the guy they asked was like, oh, probably not. And so he skated over and asked me, and I was like, I was too embarrassed to say that was embarrassing. So I switched over to the other team. And so I won that night. The other team won, and I was on that team. So I was like, yes, I got a win under my belt as a goalie. But there was one time I scored, and so I played, I think it was two seasons that I played hockey, and I actually scored one goal. And how it happened, one of my really close friends, he preached here this fall, his name is Jason Parker. He's a pretty good hockey player, he played his whole life, and we skated up the ice together, and he was going around all these guys and did all these, like, moves to skate all the way up, and I was just standing wide open, like, in front of their goal, and he slid the puck across, and I just put it in and scored the goal. And I felt like a superstar, right? Because I was like, yeah, I scored. And I'm getting ready for this message about taking the risk for God. And I'm thinking about hockey because I was thinking, when God asks us to take a risk, it's a risk for us, it's scary for us, but it would be the same as if you're playing on a superstar team and there's no chance that you could lose. Right? Like, when you say yes to doing something for God, it's similar. And so the reason I said that it wasn't the perfect example is because the team I was playing with, like, they, I mean, compared to me, they're amazing. But all together, we weren't that great. And so even when I scored, it was because of other people's skill and talent. But I want you to imagine for a sec that you're invited to go play hockey. Most of us in this room, if you haven't played, would probably just say no, because that'd be embarrassing, right? But what if you did say yes? You show up, and you're playing against, like, 10-year-olds, and you're with NHL hockey players on your team. Like, would that be as scary? Right? Like, if you've got, you know, NHL hockey players, and they're in your corner or whatever, and they're, like, you're playing against, you know, 10-year-olds, like, you definitely, no matter how bad you do personally, you're still going to do well. And taking a risk for God is similar to that. Okay? And I want to read... What's that?
10-year-olds
in the city, I know. One more story. I went to help Malachi's hockey team one night, and the fellow players on his team, they looked at me because I was skating around because one of the parents couldn't make it, and they're like, "Have you ever played before?" I was like, "No." They can tell. I want to read to you Ecclesiastes 11 in the Message. It's going to be up on the screen. And so Brian read to us from the New Living Translation, and I want to read to you from the Message. And so, just a brief word about translations in Scripture. It's really helpful to read the Scriptures in a couple different translations, because a lot of times it'll help you understand what's being said, and we'll use different words. And the Message translation, it's kind of like a commentary. So Eugene Peterson is the author of the Message, and the way that he wrote, he kind of interprets some things for us. And so I just want to read this. It's only a few verses, but just follow along on the screen, and then we'll talk about taking risks for God and what this chapter's talking about. Verse 1 says, "Be generous, invest in acts of charity. Charity yields high returns. Don't hoard your goods, spread them around. Be a blessing to others. This could be your last night. When the clouds are full of water, it rains. When the wind blows down a tree, it lies where it falls. Don't sit there watching the wind. Do your own work. Don't stare at the clouds. Get on with your life. Just as you'll never understand the mystery," and this part here, the way that he articulates this is helpful in how we understand God. He says, "Just as you'll never understand the mystery of life forming in a pregnant woman, so you'll never understand the mystery of work and all that God does. Go to work in the morning and stick to it until evening without watching the clock. You never know from moment to moment how your work will turn out in the end, before the years take their toll. Oh, how the sweet light of day and how wonderful to live in the sunshine. Even if you live a long time, don't take a single day for granted. Take delight in each light-filled hour, remembering that there will also be many dark days, and that most of what comes your way is small. You who are young, make the most of your youth. Relish your youthful vigor. Follow the impulses of your heart. If something looks good to you, pursue it. But know also that not just anything goes. You have to answer to God for every last bit of it. Live footloose and fancy-free. You won't be young forever. Youth lasts about as long as smoke." Now, I'm just going to pray before we look at what I believe God wants to speak to us today from this passage. So let's pray. We'll just invite Him to speak. And wherever you come from today, maybe you're here and you're not sure where you stand in reference to your belief in Jesus. And I encourage you, if you're here, just open your heart and ask God if He has something to speak to you, just to make that clear. Let's pray. God, I just want to thank You for Your Word. I thank You for what You've given us in Ecclesiastes, perspective of someone who's got a really unique perspective on life. And I just pray, Lord, that we would hear Your voice today. We welcome Your presence. We welcome Your peace, God. We know that You're here. And God, our desire is to hear what You have to say. In Jesus' name, amen. And so I want to talk about three things today. And you'll see it, and I'll reference back to Ecclesiastes chapter 11. But the three things, and this will be up on the screen, the three things I want to challenge us with is that, and I want to, this idea of risk, I want you to think about this. And maybe you don't think about risk very often in relationship to God. But I believe what, not just Ecclesiastes chapter 11, but in the scriptures, God calls you and I to take risks for him. And the areas I want to challenge us in today are with taking risks in the area of time, money, and pleasure. Okay? So I want to challenge you to take risks with your time, which is to live intentionally, to take risks with your money, which is to give generously, and to take risks with your pleasure. And so he ends this, and we'll get there, but he ends this chapter in kind of a funny way. The way that Eugene Peterson says it in the Message version is he says, live footloose and fancy free. Right? And in the NLT version, which Brian read for us, he just says, follow your passions, your pleasures. And we don't hear that talked about a whole lot in church. Sometimes we're afraid of pleasure. Like, we're afraid of doing things that we actually really love to do. But the scriptures actually challenge us to follow our pleasures, but in a way that honors God. And so the definition of risk is exposure to the chance of injury or loss. And so this is what I really think about this as we're working through this. I really believe that if you want to live a life that follows Christ and you experience and encounter him, that he's going to encourage you to take some risks. And it is, and it's exposure to the chance of injury or loss. That illustration I opened with, if you had been invited to play hockey, this is the way God works. If you had been invited to play hockey, if it was me, and I was trying to get you to play, I would tell you, hey, listen, you're going to be playing with a whole bunch of NHL players, there's no way anything can go wrong. The way God does things, he just invites you to play and doesn't tell you how much the odds are going to be stacked in your favor because you're on his team. He actually wants us to step out in faith. And that's the thing about God. Like, any time that God has challenged me to step out in faith, I don't see the end result. I don't see how it's all going to work out in the end. You know, there's tons of stories in the New Testament where Jesus talked to people and he would give them an opportunity to follow him. And sometimes they'd walk away and he'd let them walk away. And I'm thinking, it would be my desire. I don't just want to chase after them. Say, no, 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 wait, it's going to be so amazing. It's going to be awesome. But God doesn't do that. What God does is he gives you and I this opportunity. He gives us this invitation, but he gives us the freedom to say no to it. And so what I want to ask you today as we're getting into this, is there an area in your life that God wants you to take a step of faith in? And maybe fear is holding you back. In verses 4 through 6 of what we read, let me read again. It says, farmers who wait for perfect weather never plant. If they watch every cloud, they never harvest. Just as you cannot understand the path of the wind or the mystery of a tiny baby growing in its mother's womb, so you cannot understand the activity of God who does all things. Plant your seed in the morning and keep busy in the afternoon, for you don't know if profit will come from one activity or another, or maybe both. You know, most of us, we say no to things because of fear. We're afraid of how things are going to turn out. We're afraid of how things are not going to turn out. So we shrink back in fear. And what the writer of Ecclesiastes is challenging people with is he's saying, farmers who just look at the weather, like they never get anything done. You know, I've told stories before of how I used to be a lobster fisherman. And one of the things that I learned from experienced lobster fishermen was they didn't let the fear of the weather dictate whether or not they were going to go out. I remember one time being so frustrated. I showed up at the wharf, it was 5 o'clock in the morning, and the wind was crazy. And I used to get seasick. And I used to be afraid of going out and getting seasick and what that was going to feel like. And we got there, and it was blowing, and I was just thinking, we're not going to go out today. Like, it's just brutal, it's crazy. And the captain of the boat, I remember him looking at me, and I could, like, see the wind rustling through his hair, it was crazy, and he goes, it's just a land breeze. It's just, that's fine. Like, we're gonna, and I'm thinking, no, it's not. It's a tornado. Like, we're going to die in the boat, right? And he just was like, he wouldn't let the weather. He was one of the better fishermen on the island, but he didn't let his fear of what was going to come dictate his decisions. And he wasn't foolish either. There was a lot of times he didn't go because it was dangerous or crazy. But for someone who gives in to fear of what could be, you miss out on a lot. And so this guy had learned to not let the fear of what was to come stop him from doing something. But I would say, I'll bet you, most of us in our lives, not to do with things like lobster fishing or playing hockey, but we let fear stop us from doing some of the things God wants us to do. And God works through the craziest situations. I put a definition up here for God's sovereignty. And earlier in this series, we talked about the sovereignty of God. And I want to read this definition because it'll help in understanding God's asking of us to take a risk. The biblical teaching, sovereignty is, the biblical teaching that God possesses all power and he's the ruler of all things. God rules and works according to his eternal purpose, even through events that seem to contradict or oppose his rule. You know that whatever situation you're in, and so maybe you're in a really discouraging situation, maybe it's a discouraging situation financially, maybe it's a discouraging situation and your where you work or in your family situation, that God is sovereign, and when you and I trust him, he can actually work amazing things out of really difficult situations. And so what I want to encourage you today, when I'm talking about taking a risk, my encouragement to you today really is about taking a step of faith and trusting God. There's a couple passages in the New Testament, and I won't go to them, I'll just refer to them, but in Matthew chapter 8, there's this Gentile person who comes to God because his servant is sick. So he comes to Jesus, and he's begging Jesus, like, please heal my servant. And this guy's a Gentile. Jesus was primarily, when he was here, he was focused on ministering to the Jewish people and explaining the gospel, and because that was what was going to change them, which they were going to go out and tell the whole world, right? But this Gentile person breaks through the crowd, comes to Jesus, and says, please heal my servant. And so Jesus looks at him, and he was going to go to this guy's house. And the guy looks at Jesus, and this is amazing. He says, you don't need to come to my house. He said, I understand how authority works. Jesus, you're the Son of God. But I realize who you are. You have all power. You have all authority. All you need to do is say the word, and my servant will be healed. And you know, the Bible, it's amazing. Because this is one of the few times in all of the New Testament that Jesus is surprised. The Bible says that it uses the word that he marvels. He's astonished. He's in wonder at this guy's faith. And so I was getting ready for this message, and I was like, what's challenging me is the thing that surprised Jesus, the thing that made Jesus go, wow, that's amazing, is somebody who took a step of faith. And I'm like thinking through this, and I was like, God, I want to be a person who causes that reaction in you. Do you realize that you and I can cause even God to marvel? And the thing that causes God to marvel is when we actually just have faith, when we have trust. Because he sees how weak we are. He sees how frail we are. He sees how difficult our situations are. And what he wants from us is for us to just trust him in the midst of that. And he wants us to say yes when we don't know the end outcome. And so these three areas, I'm gonna just dive into these, is time, money, and pleasure. And the first one, I want to encourage you to take risks with how you spend your time and to live intentionally. And so I want to give you an example that might not relate to you, and then an example that will. For me, one of the clearest examples of taking a risk with my time was when God called my wife and I and Hannah Tyler to move to Thunder Bay. And I've shared the story of how we got here and we're part of planting this church, Transformation Church. I can't tell you how scary it was to think about moving to Thunder Bay. Like, from the East Coast, when we didn't know anybody, to start a church, which I'd never done before. I was sharing with somebody earlier, my boss was actually here this week. So we have, in the Wesleyan denomination, we have a guy that's in charge of, like, church planting for this area. And he was here this week, and to be honest, I felt kind of exposed. Because there's like, he's asking me specific questions about certain things, and the things that I'm really weak in, I was just honest with him. Like, some of the areas that I'm weak in as a leader, like, I was just being honest, and I was like, again, thinking, man, like, there's so many areas I need to grow in and become better at, right? And so, like, I felt, and just so you know, it wasn't like he was trying to make me feel that way. He was trying to be really encouraging. But I just felt exposed, because when you step out at a step of faith, your weaknesses show. If you're going to step into something that God's asking you to do, which is a step of faith, usually he's doing that so that you'll trust him. And it's not in an area that you feel like you're the best at. And so for me, it was just this, like, just to come in the first place was challenging. And then to be here and to pastor in a church and to see, you know, some of the challenges we face, like, it's a big stretching thing for me. And I like saying that because I feel like sometimes people see a pastor or somebody in ministry and think, oh, like, it's just easy. Like, they have all this faith. But like, it's not. God doesn't call us to do things that are just easy for us, because then we get the credit. When God calls us to do something, he calls us to trust him. And so maybe that's not something you can relate to, because you're like, well, I'm not going to go plant a church, and I'm not called to be a pastor. When I was, to go back to lobster fishing, I remember when I was fishing on this boat, I remember being frustrated, because I just felt like God wanted me to be in full-time ministry. But then I had this thought hit me, if you can't figure out, and it was like God was saying this to me, Nathan, if you can't figure out how to serve me here in your workplace and to point others to me, like, how can you go and be a leader of the church? Like, how can you go and tell others about me? How can you talk to people who work full-time if that's not something that you were able to do? It was this challenge, right? And so I worked for 2 years full-time as a lobster fisherman. And a lot of times when I'm around people now, they know I'm a pastor, they'll swear. And they're like, oh, like they're saying sorry or whatever. And sometimes my answer is just like, I used to work on a fishing boat, so you're not going to freak me out. And I've been other places too, but like a fishing boat has like that reputation, right? Well, I remember feeling this conviction, and when you work on a fishing boat, on where I was anyway, you worked with a few other guys, and sometimes it was like a revolving door, a bunch of other people. And I felt like the Lord was telling me to ask our captain and the guys that I work with, it was okay to start the day in prayer. And I was like, I just feel stupid doing that, right? Like, we're out on a boat. The captain was a Christian man, but when he was out on the water, he didn't necessarily always see that or feel that way, right? Because on the water, like, it's very business-focused, there's a lot of stress, and a lot of things going on. And a lot of the guys that work there, they weren't Christian guys. And so it was a really like awkward thing for me, because I felt like God wanted me to take this stance and start a day with prayer. And so anyways, I started doing this, and I remember like some of the comments that would come at me, because one day we lost a guy overboard. We were fishing, we got him back, but it was a crazy situation. He went overboard, and the guys looked at me and they're like, I thought you prayed, right? Like, as if it was my fault. You know, like, you prayed and this guy went overboard. Like, obviously your prayers are... And I was like, well, we got him back, so okay. But there was this guy that I worked with that I didn't, like, he was never in church where I went to church or prayer meetings or anything like that. But we started building this friendship, and I could tell that he was impacted by my faith in Jesus. And his dad came to me and said, hey, you know, my son, I've noticed, and he was still living at home at this time, and he said, I've noticed my son has his Bible beside his bed now, and he's been reading it. And I was like, I was so thankful for what God was doing, but it brought me back to this, like, I had to be intentional about how I was spending my time where I was every day at work. Like, taking a risk isn't always, and sometimes we think of taking a risk, and it's like, it's moving overseas, which God may be calling some of you to do that. Or it could be to go start a new ministry or church or something. But for most of us, taking a risk for God is to take this step of faith in the situations we find ourselves in. So that could be at work or with your family. And it's really a risk. And sometimes it might sound simple or petty, but it is a risk to step out and do something that you feel like you might be looked down on for, or made fun of, or laughed at, or not taken seriously. But when God is challenging you to do something, I would encourage you to do it. If we look at the outcome, like the example that the writer of Ecclesiastes gave, you know, if a farmer looks at the weather, they'll never plant anything, they'll never do anything. And if all we think about is what could happen, all the bad things that could happen, we won't take risks or steps of faith for God. And the reason Cheryl shared during the announcement time was because she's taken this step of faith. It's a team that goes out on Monday nights, and they just walk the streets around Thunder Bay. And they go give people soup, and they pray for people and talk to them about Jesus. That's a risk. But every week, they come back. Jeremy sometimes will call me on Tuesday morning. He's so excited with what they've seen God do. And taking a risk for God, it's crazy because God will allow us to say no, but we don't experience the blessing. But for the people that say yes to God, they experience this incredible blessing where they're like, man, God showed up in ways I didn't even imagine that he could. And my desire, honestly, my desire is that you would experience that. That you would experience what it's like to sense God telling you to do something, to take the step of faith and do it, and then to just be able to give awesome testimony to the amazing things you've seen God do. And so I want to ask you, like, in what ways are you stepping out and taking a risk for God? You know, think about a guy where Jesus marveled at his faith because he broke through the crowd and he asked Jesus this bold request, and he just had this faith that Jesus could do it. And Jesus was He was amazed. He was astonished. You and I have the same opportunity to have God give us that reaction because we've taken this step of faith, this risk for him. And it's the same as being asked to go play hockey. You show up and you're on this team and you couldn't lose. But we don't know that until we take that step of faith. The second one is, so that's taking a risk with your time. And we could go a lot further into that, but I just want to encourage you to think about that. The second thing I want to draw from this chapter is take risks with your money and give generously. And so if you study Ecclesiastes chapter 11, commentators and scholars, they kind of interpret things differently. Some people think that in this chapter that we just read, he's challenging people to take bold steps of faith in business. And then some people take it and they say, well, he's just basically applying this rule of being generous to all of life. Either way, what he's challenging us, the principle from Ecclesiastes chapter 11, is to not be tight-fisted with the resources that God has given us. To not hold on to it as if that's what's going to save us. You know, it's really tempting when it comes to money for us to hold on to it so tightly, thinking that that's what gives us security. That's what's going to get us through. That's what's going to get us through a tough time. And that, we kind of hold on to that, and we trust money and resources more than we trust God. And in the scriptures, God actually challenges us to give to him. And I'll spend more time on this someday, but there's this argument in the church, because in the Old Testament scriptures, there's this giving called the tithe. And so the followers of God would give 10%, not just of their money. And so when we think of 10% in today's terms, we think of whatever our paycheck is, we give 10% to God. But in the Old Testament, the believers would give 10% of everything. So if you're a farmer and you raise carrots or whatever, you would give 10% of your carrots to God, or your grain, or your animals, or whatever, and your money, right? And there's an argument today, a lot of people say, well, that was Old Testament. Like, Christians today don't need to give 10% of their income to God. I was raised to give 10%. I actually remember growing up, my dad taught me, and I started a business, incredibly successful, by the way, no one lawns. But I was young, and I started, my dad was like, you should go, you know, do business, mow lawns, and shovel driveways, or whatever. And so I started doing that. He started teaching me. He said, Nate, I want to challenge you, as a young person, even now, to start, like, to set aside 10% of your income and just give it to God. Well, when you're making, like, 10 bucks, it's really easy to get a dollar, right? Especially back when I was younger, penny candies, you could still get, like, penny candies, right? But as I got older and started making more money, like, giving 10% was not an easy thing. But I'll tell you, and this is just from personal testimony, that's a practice I've carried through my life, is giving 10% to God, to kingdom purposes. And God's provision in our life as a family is incredible. Like, there's times where my wife and I'm not sure how financially we make, like, we have six kids. You all know how expensive it is. Going to the superstore every week is, like, this can be discouraging when you've got six kids, right? But the way that God has provided has been incredible. And that's his promise. He actually challenges us in scripture to give generously. And if you read in the New Testament carefully, I really believe that in the New Testament, after the resurrection of Christ, when God filled people with his spirit, his challenge was actually to be even more generous than what the Old Testament requirements were. Like, there was people in the New Testament that would come, and they would get large sums of money, and they were so attracted to what God was doing, and they so desperately wanted to be a part of God's kingdom advancing, that they would just bring large sums of their income and just give it to the work of God. And what he's encouraging us here in Ecclesiastes is, don't be tight-fisted. Don't think that holding on to your money is what gives you security. And Jesus, I'm going to read Jesus' words. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says some pretty powerful things about money. He says, and just think about what you do with wealth and the temptation that we have with money here and now. He says, don't store up treasures here on earth, where moths eat them and rust destroy them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be also. And I just want to encourage you. Like, Jesus is saying here that when we, like, when all of our treasures are here in this earth, like, that can be taken away easy. Drop of a hat, snap of a finger, that can be gone, right? And you can look it up. There's tons of stories of people right here in Thunder Bay where that's happened, and it was beyond their control for that to happen. What Jesus is saying is he said, if you have wealth, if you have anything, invest that in the kingdom of God. And the way that I picture this, and I don't know, most of those brains probably don't work like I do, but when I read scriptures like this, I always think about God, and it's like, he watches everything that we do, and he keeps track of it. Right? And so in the same way that if you invest your money in the bank, you hope that they would keep track of it. Like, would you feel comfortable if you were investing in TV, and you showed up, and, I don't know, you had $10,000, and they had no idea that you had that money in there? Can you imagine, like, you show up, and they're rifling through papers, and they're like, they have no record of it? Like, that would be really unsettling, right? Well, God is saying to us, and Jesus very clearly says, like, don't store up for yourselves treasures here on earth, but store them in the treasure purses of heaven. Because moth and rust can't take that away. So whatever we give into the kingdom, whatever we give into the purposes of God, what he's saying here is that's eternal. That can never be lost. And that's why it's a joy to give into the things of God. And we'll spend more time on that sometime, but even in our, and when we take up our offering, part of the reason we do that is it's an act of worship to give into God's kingdom through local church ministry or ministry that's happening throughout the world in some way, to take what God has given us and to give it for his purposes and for his glory. It's like God keeps tally of that. He keeps record of that and says that that's like building this treasure in heaven. And there's the security in it. You know, and to go back to that other illustration, imagine if you showed up at TD and your $10,000 was there and it was growing and you know, you're living your whole life for that. Someday, we're going to stand before God and realize that all of that is gone. The writer of Ecclesiastes, that's why over and over he uses this word meaningless. He's like, the things in this world, things we chase, things that we desire, things that we kind of build our lives after, like, it's just meaningless. It's gone. I watched an incredible documentary. I think it's on Amazon Prime or Disney. We borrowed Shauna signed to Disney Plus that she got, and so we're watching this cool documentary, and it was it's called Free Solo. And some of you here might have seen it, but it's a story of a guy that he climbed one of the most incredible mountains in the world, called Yosemite, without any ropes, without being hooked up to anything. And so it was, I'm sitting in my chair, nervous, watching this, because he's climbing up this huge mountain face, and it's never been done in the history of mankind, where people have, like, free soloed up the face of this mountain. And it took him 8 years to strategize how he was actually going to do this. And the people, this is what really stuck out to me, the people that were filming it, they said, we're filming this and we're aware because they're watching him climb up. They said, we had to be mentally prepared for if this guy falls, which he'd fallen hundreds of times while he was hooked up with ropes. If this guy falls with his ropes, he's just going to drop down through the frame and be gone. And I'm listening to this and thinking, like, that would be really difficult to do as a filmer, right? Like, this is a person you know, you're friends with. And they were aware of this reality. But when Ecclesiastes talks about the meaninglessness of life, that's what he's referring to. Is he's saying, so quickly our lives can be gone. Everything we live for, everything we desire, everything we sought after can be gone so fast. So don't build your lives after things that are just temporary. Build them after things that are eternal. So Jesus is saying, like, give your money into the treasure houses of heaven. Like, invest, give into the kingdom of God. Your time, spend it being in partnership with God, taking risks for God, saying yes to him. Those moments are not wasted. But a lot of the moments that we end up living for are wasted. And the last thing, so the first two is time, it's money. So take risks with your time, living intentionally. Take risks with your money, be generous. And the third is to take risks with your hobbies and pleasures. Honor God in all things. So this verse in Ecclesiastes 11, verse 9, he says, young people, it's wonderful to be young. Enjoy every minute of it. Do everything you want to do. Take it all in. I was reading this and I was thinking, I'll bet you most of us wish that verse stopped there. Right? Young people, it's wonderful to be young. Okay, so like if I was here this morning and I'm, you know, giving this motivational, exciting message, I might end it there. Young people, it's wonderful to be young. Enjoy every minute of it. Do everything you want to do. Take it all in. Imagine if you stopped there. You just do whatever you want, right? But remember, you must give an account to God for everything you do. It almost sounds like a trick, doesn't it? Where he's like, yes, do whatever you want. Have fun. It's going to be awesome. But remember, you're going to give an account to God. So it's almost like a trick because you're reading down through it. You're like, oh, all these things I want to do. I'm going to chase it. I'm going to do all these amazing things. And I can treat people how I want or whatever. But he ends it with, remember, you must give an account to God for everything that you do. And I want to end with this section here, because I really believe we kind of miss it. Sometimes I think we're tempted, if you're a follower of Jesus here today, to think that this life is just, we have to be super serious and not have any fun. And to follow God means to say no to all of our pleasures and say no to all the things that we want. But that's actually not true. God has given you desire. He's given you pleasure on purpose. But he wants you to know he's the one that gave it to you. So if we chase pleasure, if we chase desire for our own end, we get to the end of our lives and we've missed it. You know, there's people that live their entire lives and they get everything they want and they're more dissatisfied than people that have nothing. Because they think they're going to find this peace or this satisfaction in the things that they're chasing, in their desires. And what he's saying here is he's actually connecting two things. It's not a trick, it's not a trick sentence, it's not a trick thought that he's giving us. What he's saying is that these things actually go together. The desires, the pleasures, the things that you desire, like God has put those things in you. And he wants to be a part of how you're able to enjoy it. A couple weeks ago, it was 2 weeks ago, we went paintballing after church. And with some guys, it was fun. So it was weird to be like you're in church talking about loving each other and then you're shooting each other a couple hours later, right at Paintball Mountain. And it was kind of painful. I actually got shot in the back of the head. I won't say by who, but it was awesome. We just had a really fun time about paintballing. And I was thinking about paintballing as I was, you know, trying to meditate and decipher what God might be saying to us from this. Like, even in that, we had an opportunity, a little bit, the guys that own Paintball Mountain, just tell them we were from a church and invite them up to church. And you could tell that they were aware of some differences in the way a group of 9 guys were interacting with each other. Right? And some of the things that we weren't saying or laughing at or talking about, like, you could tell the 2 guys that were running the place were just a little bit like, man, this is a different kind of a group. And I had a chance to talk to them a little bit. And I was thinking about our desires, our pleasures. Like, whatever it is that you desire, whatever it is that you love to do, if you're somebody who's willing to take risks for God and live intentionally and be on a mission with him, God's going to use those things for his glory. Like, how much it's an adventure just to go get a haircut. Like, if you live that way and you're like, okay, it's not, you know, necessarily vain to go and get your hair cut, or if you enjoy, you know, having your hair done a certain way. For me, one of the things that I like to do in going to get my hair cut or something like that is sharing my faith with people. And just on purpose, living for Christ. But still having these things that I enjoy. You know, one of my friends, I think I've shared this story before, he plays this game online. And he ended up, like, leading this guy to Christ while he was doing, like, an online game. And I'm like, man, this guy was using his pleasure, his hobby, but he was bringing glory to God. And this is what I want to encourage you with, is that God has given you and I things that we desire, things that we love. And if we're able to live on mission for him, he can use all of those things for his glory. But most of us think we separate our spiritual lives from the rest of our lives. And I believe God doesn't want us to live that way. He wants us to live intentionally with our time. He wants us to give generously with our finances and our money. And he wants the things that we desire, the things that we love to do and be a part of. He wants us to use those for his glory. And the only way we can do that is by inviting Christ into our lives. I'm going to invite the team to come up. We're going to close with a couple songs. And last week when Mike was here, I was really blessed with the response. So at the end of his message, he invited people to come up if you felt like God was speaking to you about using your gifts for him, your voice for him, just saying yes to Jesus. And a lot of people came forward to say yes. Like, I want God to use me. I want to step out of faith. And I want to take that idea further this week, that if maybe as we're talking about some of these things, there's something specific God's speaking to you about. And so right now I want to just to think about, is there an area in your life that it would be a risk to step into and say yes to? Whether it was some giving generously in some way, or inviting God into your work relationships in some way, or inviting God into how you spend your leisure time. While we're singing these last couple songs, I just want to invite you to invite Christ into every area of your life. And maybe during these come home, there's something specific you can say yes to God about. Maybe there's something that came to your mind, your heart, you're like, God, I'm going to say yes in this year. I'm going to say yes in this relationship that I'm in, or at work in some way, or giving, or something. And just while we're singing these last couple songs, I'm not going to call you forward today. But I just want you to, if the Lord's brought something to your mind, just say yes to that. And lastly, before we sing these songs, maybe you're here today and you've never surrendered your life to Christ. And I just want to encourage you, even while we do this, if God is speaking to you, to say yes to Jesus. The scriptures are so clear. Now, Jesus modeled this better than any human being could ever model. He came and took the biggest risk of all. He took on human flesh. God himself took on human flesh, lived a perfect existence, and then was crucified on our behalf for us. If you've ever put your faith in him today, I encourage you, even during worship, to just say yes to Jesus. Acknowledge that, yes, I believe what you've done for me, and I invite you into my life. And if that's the case, I encourage you to come talk to one of us that's on the team. Let me pray with you. But let's stand as we do these last couple songs, and I'll pray. And we'll just encourage you to be listening to what God's saying.